This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
1320 WILS. Later in the half hour, we'll hear from a former Secret Service agent, get his take on what's happening at the agency and why so many attempts to break into the White House, including a recent one where a man spent 17 minutes on the grounds of the White House before being caught, why that's even happening. Let's begin, though, with Donald Trump and Senator Joseph McCarthy. My next guest says there is a direct link, a man that links the two of these individuals. David Nichols is the country's leading expert on the Eisenhower presidency, and his brand new book talks a lot about what's happening here. Ike and McCarthy is the book. Ike and McCarthy, Dwight Eisenhower's secret campaign against Joseph McCarthy. We'll get into all of that, too. Hey, David, great to have you on WILS.
Good to be with you, Michael.
Yeah, I want to talk about this guy, Roy Cohn. How does he connect Senator Joseph McCarthy and President Trump?
Well, when McCarthy had an investigative subcommittee starting in 1953 and going over into 1954, he hired Roy Cohn as his chief counsel for the investigative committee. Cohn was only 25 years old, a real legal prodigy, and one tough guy. And anyway, he hired him as his counsel. And there's a lot of, I can go back to the story about what he did at that time, but the connection with Donald Trump is that after McCarthy was disgraced in the Army-McCarthy hearings in 1954, Cohn left, went back to New York, resumed his New York law practice, and became an attorney and chief mentor to Donald Trump for 13 years.
Is there any similarity between Senator McCarthy and President Trump?
Well, yes, there is. Historians tend to not want to get into political opinions because my book is not about Donald Trump. It's about Joe McCarthy and Joe McCarthy and Dwight Eisenhower. But Cohn taught Trump some of the same kind of tactics that McCarthy used to harass innocent people in his hearings, and he the techniques are remarkably similar. Exploit people's deep fears, provide the public with scapegoats for their problems, do anything for a headline. The more outrageous the charge, the better. And in some cases, the truth doesn't matter. Just tell a big lie and stick to it.
David Nichols with us here on WILS. His brand new book, Ike and McCarthy. When did President Eisenhower decide he didn't like Senator McCarthy?
He never liked him. His brother Milton said that Ike loathed McCarthy. However, the knock on Eisenhower was that he never spoke out against him. You know, we tend to rate presidents on the basis of how they use the bully pulpit, you know, what they say. But that was not Eisenhower. In fact, he would never use McCarthy's name in public. He thought that would just enhance his prestige if he got presidential attention. But he went after him in private with a clandestine operation that tied a gay lover scandal around that prominent Republican senator's neck in the president's own party in an election year.
Okay, I'm trying to follow that. I don't know the story. So can you give me
the gay lover story, I have confused you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Roy Cohn. Let's go back to Roy Cohn. Roy Cohn's boyfriend was G. David Shine. And McCarthy, at Cohn's insistence, brought G. David Shine, a handsome New Yorker, aboard for his committee as an unpaid consultant. And in July of 1953, Shine was inducted into the U.S. Army. Mm-hmm. And Cohn raised a continuing fuss frantically to try to get Shine a special commission to keep him with the committee and, more importantly, with him personally. And he got so upset about that because he struck out at every turn that eventually he harassed Joe McCarthy into investigating communists in the Army. Mm-hmm. And this, Michael, is with a 5-star general in the White House. Mm. And so that investigation went on and on for months and months. And finally, when the Eisenhower White House got all the information on all the stuff going on between Cohn and Shine, mm-hmm. they delegated some people to put together a report to be published, and that published report caused a firestorm of publicity, and that led to the 2 months of the Army-McCarthy hearings, which really destroyed Joe McCarthy.
Right. And so did Joe McCarthy know that Cohn was gay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that was known to him.
Okay, look, he's not on record about it. It's one of the interesting things of studying the records at this time. This was a homophobic period where if you were just rumored to be gay, you could lose your job. It didn't even have to be a fact. And so people whispered in a lot of ways but didn't talk openly. There were rumors that McCarthy was gay. Mm-hmm. I haven't been able to validate that. We know that Roy Cohn died of AIDS in 1986, widely known to be gay, although he never admitted it.
Interesting. He said rumors that McCarthy was gay. I've never heard that before, too.
Yeah, and I can't validate that for sure. Mm-hmm. I want to say to you, Michael, I'm not an opinion writer. I'm a rigorous scholar. Your label for your show is compelling. I think a compelling radio.
Yeah, no,
it's one of my favorite words. And what I say is, every sentence I have in my book is either documented by rigorously found in a document or a result of compelling circumstantial evidence.
And I should say the book is incredibly detailed. I mean, this is a really historical piece of work. David Nichols with us. The brand new book is Ike and McCarthy. Did Senator McCarthy have it out for the president anyway? Did he despise him also?
Well, Ike thought he did. Ike thought he wanted to run for president in 1956. I'm not sure Ike was right about that. I'm not sure Joe thought that far ahead. But nevertheless, they believed it. And certainly to prosecute the communists in the army with a five-star general in the White House, mm-hmm. Why wouldn't Ike think he was going to come after him eventually? He believed that he would. And so eventually McCarthy would placate an enemy for a long time. He would make what he called waging peace for a long time. And finally, if he gave up, he could be absolutely lethal. Mm-hmm. I mean, after all, this is the guy who fooled the German general staff about where the largest military armada in human history would land in France, where and when.
Right.
And he was very good at deception, but he wouldn't show his hand out front at all.
Now, did he ever meet face to face with McCarthy, the president?
Yes, he did. You know, McCarthy was a prominent Republican senator, and so there were meetings at the White House on occasion. Mm-hmm. He tried not to associate with him. He tried not to shake hands with him. And even to his face wouldn't use his name.
Wow. Interesting.
I, that was Ike's way of showing him he just didn't respect him.
No respect. David Nichols with us. The brand new book is Ike and McCarthy. You're listening to 1320 WILS. When you look at what the when you look at the times back then, we hear it's so contentious now. Politics is so different than it ever was. Was it really that different back then in the 50s in this story?
Well, I think American politics has always been contentious. Always, from the outset. And a great historian, Richard Hofstadter, wrote an article during the McCarthy era called The Paranoid Style in American Politics. And Hofstadter contended that these kind of times bubble up about every generation. And every generation, folks just get scared. And in the 50s, they were scared of communists and communist subversion. Mm-hmm. By the way, legitimately, there were spies in the government, in the Soviet Union with the Cold War. And now they're scared of terrorism. Mm. And so there's some similarity. It's not exactly the same. I wouldn't draw it too tightly.
Yeah.
But we just go through periods when people are paranoid and get really scared.
I need to ask you, I know as a historian, you have your focus on the facts, but people that do call Trump, that he resembles McCarthy, not just in style, but in the level of his behavior. Is that a fair comparison, or is McCarthy a whole different creature?
If you're asking my opinion, yes, I think it is. But you know, they're different in a lot of ways. Joe McCarthy was a raging drunk. Donald Trump is not. You know, we have to be careful with these historical comparisons, I think. But having said that, it was not unlike McCarthy to accuse his enemies of what he was doing. And so it is with Trump and I sometimes. But the big difference, of course, between the two of them is, thanks to Dwight Eisenhower, Joe McCarthy did not become president.
And you note, though, that initially Joe McCarthy was very popular with the American public. His downfall, how quickly did that occur then?
Oh, very quickly. No, in January of 1954, he had a Gallup poll rating of 50% positive 29% negative. He was arguably the most prestigious senator, maybe politician in the country, with the exception of Eisenhower. By June of 1954, he was ruined. He was upside down in the polls. He had a precipitous decline from about April through June. And you may recall that on December 2nd, 1954, his own colleagues in the Senate censured him by a 67-22 vote.
And this was all because of the Army-McCarthy hearings, the downfall?
Yeah, the Army-McCarthy hearings. Well, television, they televised this for 2 months. Those were in the days when they didn't have many television stations and not much for people to watch. And people watched it and watched it, and television cameras were not kind to Joe McCarthy. Yeah. They showed him to be an obnoxious bully, and it just really didn't, it tore him down. And there were about five times that the Republicans on the subcommittee tried to end those hearings, and Eisenhower behind the scenes managed to veto that. At one point he said, no, we've got the bastard right where we want him.
So he essentially knew those. And now, did McCarthy know he was falling apart also?
Oh, I don't know. One of the problems we have is that McCarthy's senatorial records are closed. They are not open to research.
How could that be?
Well, it's just his family's requirement. And so they're still under the control of his daughter. So we can't get inside of what Joe thought privately. All we can do is what he did, you know, in terms of news media and that kind of thing.
How uncommon
but
is
it's
that?
It's a tragic thing. I would have been into those records if they'd let me in them.
How uncommon is that to have records closed for so many decades now?
It's not very uncommon because senators can take their records with them.
I did not know
now,
that.
Now, presidents tend to have presidential libraries, but it's kind of a scandal that senators and congressmen can take their records with them and keep them closed if they wish to. And they make an agreement, in this case with Marquette University, and those records still are not open for research.
And his daughter has the say on that, you're saying?
Yeah, that's right.
So when she passes away, what happens then?
I don't know.
Okay, it could still remain closed, like a grandchild.
Yeah, but getting inside Joe's mentality and what he was really thinking is hard, though. There is a very fine biography by Reeves that treats him very sensitively as a tragic figure. You know, he just had an awful drinking problem. He just drank all the time.
So he was drunk on television when he was during the hearings?
Oh, yeah. He couldn't get going without a big belt in the morning.
Incredible. This is just a sliver. The book has so much detail, really takes you back in time to Ike and McCarthy. The book is Ike and McCarthy, Dwight Eisenhower's Secret Campaign Against Joseph McCarthy. David Nichols, the country's leading expert on the Eisenhower presidency. David, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure, Michael.